Today is the first Sunday in Lent. Ever since I have been aware of Lent as a liturgical season, I have loved it. It begins with the ashes, the earthiness, the solemnity, and the reality of Ash Wednesday. The colors change to one of my two favorites, purple. And I've always enjoyed that life is shook up for 40 days with fasting, intentions, new practices, and internal spring cleaning. Countless times I've given up my favorite food group, ice cream. Other times I have added prayer practices. A year ago I added Lent madness. And I've always enjoyed the days leading up to Lent, deciding my personal Lenten theme. Yet this year we're at the first Sunday in Lent already, and I've really been wrestling with it. In the last few weeks, I felt overwhelmed by the quantity and quality of news, opinions, conversation. I felt overwhelmed trying to decipher, to discern where my role is in that conversation. What are the times that I need to speak? What should I be saying? And when should I be silent? And so in that context, giving something up for Lent this year does not feel right for me, because that would just cut off what overwhelms me. That would stop conversations, and it would all still be there when I get back. Into this wrestling enters today's gospel, Matthew's sacred story, which is sandwiched near the beginning between Jesus' baptism and his first calling of his disciples. This is early days in Jesus' ministry. Right before we start today, God has announced, "This is my son," to the crowds at Jesus' baptism. And so questions abound. Who is Jesus? What does God's son act like? What does God's son do? There, Jesus is led into the wilderness by the Spirit. The wilderness being a place for struggle and growth for his and our spiritual ancestors. The devil, Satan, the tempter, the accuser, depending on the translation and version of the story, enters the scene. I don't picture him red with little horns. I think that takes the power away. For me, he changes between Harry Potter's flat-faced Lord Voldemort and a run-of-the-mill, everyday, forgettable person. The devil and Jesus teleport or jump from location to location. They start in the Judean wilderness. They jump to the roof of the temple and then to a high mountain. Sometimes this cinematic sweep in the story has made me leave it. It's too grand. It's not relatable. Then I remember that Jesus is hungry when these tests begin. As someone easily prone to being hangry, I feel for Jesus. And I am back there with him in the story. The tempter is asking the questions that we are all asking. Who is the Son of God? Does the Son of God grasp at earthly security and glory for his own sake? Is the Son of God someone who, when tempted, works miracles to create more food just for his sake? Is the Son of God someone who, when tempted, shows off his closeness and power to the majesty of God just for show, like a dramatic, angelic crowd surfing scene? Is the Son of God someone who secures political leadership on earth just because it's offered to him and he can? No, that is not the Son of God. Jesus claims his identity. He doesn't turn stones into food today. However, he will go on in the gospel to feed his followers and seekers, thousands of them, with just a few loaves of bread and fish. He doesn't crowd surf with the angels and archangels for a glorious show. He does fully trust in God's power and saving grace through his death on a cross and after. He doesn't rule as an earthly king as many of his followers expected and wanted. Instead, he paints the picture of the kingdom of heaven and offers it to all who follow him. Jesus was tested and tempted, and it was hard. Through him, we learn that tests and temptations are a part of being God's beloved. Matthew, I believe, is inviting us, each of us, to take a full look at our lives as followers of Jesus, an examination of our own tests, what leads us astray, both as individuals and communities. Matthew is inviting us to claim our identity too, our identity as Christ's followers. Jesus' tests are in many ways also questions for us. How do we address the very real spiritual and physical hunger in our world? How do we trust God in each step rather than insist that God is the one to be tested regularly? When do we choose earthly power over obedience to God, or what uses of our authority are in line with God's vision? These are hard, sobering questions. They need to be asked. They need to be asked as individuals, and they need to be asked within the context of a faith community. A faith community being your youth group, with your spiritual director, at family dinner, in a small group, in AA, within this community sitting and praying and worshiping next to you. In Matthew, I hear a Lenten invitation to quiet the voices of anxiety and false urgency, those voices that often seem louder than the rest, and start with these questions. Where and how do we use our personal power to further the kingdom of God? Where and how do we fall short? For me, this Lent, Matthew has given me a practice to continue to wrestle with these questions in community, not knowing the outcome, being open to where that journey leads, and being ready to hear and experience some uncomfortable things. The hope for all of us is that even when the answers shake us to our being, Jesus has been there before. There is no place too dark, deep, desolate, or stinky that Jesus will not go there with us. In Matthew, I hear the invitation to name and claim our identity as Jesus' followers, as God's beloved children. And that is good news indeed.